بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم وما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, inshallah we'll discuss one discourse of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, where he discusses the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the means to gaining this love of Allah Rabbul Izzat. He says that Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayh had mentioned about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, firstly we should understand that though the love of Allah ta'ala is involuntary, but the means to it is in a person's hand. And what are the means of gaining Allah Ta'ala's love? Number one, abundant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making excessive dhikr of Allah Rabbul Izzat. The more the person makes the dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala's love increases in that person's heart, because he's taking the name of his beloved. Like in the world, the more you praise your beloved, the more the love of that person comes into your heart. So the first thing is, a person who wants the love of Allah Rabbul Izzat, he must make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. Then, the second thing is, pondering over Allah Ta'ala's bounties, the ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon us. We've got the air to breathe in, we've got food, we have clothing, we have shelter, Allah has given us protection, Allah has given us iman. That's the greatest ni'mat. Allah has made us in the ummat of Rasulullah. Allah has created the sun, the moon, the stars. Allah has created night so that we can rest. Allah has given us limbs. Allah has given us brains and intelligence. Allah has given us eyes and ears and different faculties. We can go on enumerating and counting the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he says, you ponder over the ni'mats of Allah, and what is our response to those bounties that Allah has showered upon us. When a person contemplates and he thinks, my Allah has given me this, that, so many things, and how should I be responding to my Allah? He is my benefactor, he is the one who is providing all this for me, therefore I should be loving him more and more. So this is one way of gaining the love of Allah Rabbul Izzat. First, make the dhikr of Allah in abundance, and then a person should ponder over the ni'mats of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Then the third point is keeping in contact with a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will talk about Allah ta'ala all the time. If you sit in the company, then immediately they will link you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In whatever their activity they are busy in, engaged in, they will always remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they are the true lovers of Allah. So when you sit by a true lover of Allah, you will gain the love of Allah ta'ala. Our Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib Arif Billah rahmatullahi alayhi used to keep on saying, if a person wants kebab, he must go to the kebab wala. Person who is buying kebab and selling, or a person who is selling braai, you want braai, you go to him. So he will give you all the different types of meat and the braai he'll give you. If a person wants material, he'll go to a person who is selling material. If a person wants sweetmeats, he'll go to the mitai shop where sweetmeats are being sold. If the person wants Allah, then he'll go to the people of Allah, the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Ahlullah. Just by sitting in the company of the Ahlullah, automatically the love of Allah is generated in the person's heart. This is the effect of good sohbat. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, we're explaining what Hazrat Mufti Sahib has mentioned about, what Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi has mentioned about gaining the love of Allah Ta'ala. We're just expounding on this. Hadith talks about a person who goes to an itar shop, perfume shop. So there's so much of itar bottles there. And the moment a person enters that itar shop, and he will immediately get the fragrance of that itar. Either he goes and he purchases an itar, a perfume from the person who's selling the perfume, or the person gives him a hadiah, Or many times when you go to Makkah, Medina, we go to buy some itar, then we go there and the person will say, no, test this, try that. So you covered with so much of itar, you get confused sometimes which one to buy. But the point is that immediately when you go there, either you will purchase the itar or the person will give you as a gift, or you'll apply some itar on your hand. Or even if it doesn't apply some itar, your mere standing there and those bottles of perfumes are open, immediately you will be affected by the fragrance of that perfume. This is what happens when a person comes into the suhbat of pious people, of learned ulama and mashayikh. Of course, we are weak people, we need to go and sit by there, in their company. But the real lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just by sitting in their company, sometimes they may be silent. Other times they may be giving some advice, some nasihat. Sometimes some person comes to visit them, and there's a discourse or some talk that goes on. So you will benefit by sitting near them, sitting in their company. Of course, your niyat must be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to gain Allah ta'ala's pleasure. You want to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you go to a blacksmith, and you go into his little workplace, he's busy taking his hammer and he's pounding and he's busy working, you will find that the furnace and the bad smell that comes out, you will be affected. Either your clothing might get burnt, or you will get the bad smell that is coming out from that fumes, or from the flames of that fire which he is busy working with. So that is bad sohbat. That is bad company. Evil company. We're sitting with friends and they're only talking about dunya. They're only talking about women. They're only talking about drugs. They're only talking about holiday here and there and all other dunya matters. What will happen? You will also begin to love those type of things. So therefore, a person who wants the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has to sit in the right company and sit in the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Automatically, the love of Allah ta'ala will come into his heart. Then, sticking to ita'at of Allah and ita'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obedience. This is very important. We love Allah, we want Allah Ta'ala to love us, we want to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to obey Allah Rabbul Izzat. قُلْ أَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ. Obey Allah and obey Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is very strange, a person claims he loves Allah Ta'ala, but he does not obey Allah Rabbul Izzat. He's not making the ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person who wants the love of Allah Ta'ala, he has to make the ita'at of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Then the fifth point that Mawlana Thani Rahmatullah gave in this explanation here is that a person should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person should make dua to Allah Rabbul Izzat, Wallah, that I want your muhabbat. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak. Wallah, we're asking you for your love. Allahumma ja'al hubbaka ahabba ilayna min kulli shay. Ya Allah, make your love be the most beloved in our hearts. More than anything else. More than our own lives. More than our own families. A person loves his wife and children. Loves his family. Loves his parents. But more than a person's love for his own family, his wife, his children, must be the love of Allah Ta'ala in his heart. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. Those who are believers, the love of Allah Ta'ala is more in their hearts than any other love. The love of Allah Ta'ala is dominant. So the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how does it come? A person makes dua to Allah. Oh Allah, I want your muhabbat. I want your ishq. Continue making this dua. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put his love into our hearts. So Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib, after giving this statement of Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi, of how a person should gain the love of Allah ta'ala, he says, these few sentences convey a deep meaning. The love of Allah Rabbul Izzah, the mighty, the glorious, and the ta'alluq, the relationship with Allah Ta'ala, is the essence of all the endeavors of deen. Whatever efforts we are making in deen, ultimately what is it? We want the love of Allah Rabbul Izzah. We hear that people throng around the awliya Allah, the Sufiyani kiram, when they were engaged in their discourses. And the purpose of all that is to grow and to develop a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to make this bond with Allah ta'ala strong. When these things are acquired, in other words, when the love of Allah Ta'ala is acquired, then the entire deen is acquired. Why? Because when love comes into a person's heart, then every difficult thing becomes easy. So initially a person might have found salah to be difficult, or giving sadaqah or zakah difficult, to make hajj difficult. But the moment the love of Allah Ta'ala has come into his heart, now he begins to enjoy that salat, he'll look forward to performing that salat, he'll look forward to go see Baytullah. He'll want to make hajj and umrah. The famous incident that we have heard so many times, a person who was going for hajj and he met a great buzurg, where are you going? I'm going for hajj. I'm going to see to the house of my Allah. Do you know what hajj is about? Do you know what ta'alluq you should be having and how you should make your hajj? He said no. He first learned about the love of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Gain the love of Allah Ta'ala. Once a person acquires the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then he will appreciate the house of Allah. He'll appreciate the tawaf of the Kaaba. Why? Because now he has come here as not just a normal haji, but he has come as a lover of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Now when he sees the house of Allah, even though he'll be standing in a distance, automatically he'll be shedding tears, he'll be crying. He won't have control over himself. He'll become emotional. He'll be making the tawaf. His mind will be now focused. And he'll be saying, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, he's in ihram. And he's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything else he forgets. The Safa Marwa becomes enjoyable. Why? Because now he's pondering, reflecting, he's moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As though he's running from Safa to Marwa, he's running to Allah, running to his beloved. So every aspect, the Mina, the Muzdalifah, the Arafat, everything he looks forward to. It's a time, of course, the Hajjis, Allah Ta'ala accept the Hajj, some are still going to go, may Allah make it easy. How we wish we were in their place and also gone for Hajj, Allah Ta'ala knows best, Allah chooses who He wants. May Allah Ta'ala grant all of us the opportunity to go for Hajj and Umrah, inshallah. But that is an occasion when a person is connecting to Allah Subhanahu. No matter how sinful a person is. I normally tell any person who goes for Hajj, they ask some parting advice or something. I say, MashaAllah, you've heard many lectures on Hajj, so many series and so many kitabs you've read, and the Masail of Hajj and the Fazail of Hajj. Besides Madina Sharif and how a person should conduct himself there and in Makkah, the behavior, etc. One thing I will say when you're going for Hajj, see on the day of Arafat, that is the main day. You must Arafat, you must your whole Hajj. And on that day, Hajis will all be in their tents and ibadah, zikr, tilawah, they'll have bayans and duas will take place. They'll have an ijtimai dua, a common dua when some alim will make dua and all the people will say ameen in many of the groups. But I always tell them that you must find a suitable time where you must sneak out of the tent. Go quietly, if a person is with his wife, take his wife. And go quietly. Because generally our South Africans are very, I won't say inquisitive, they're very curious. So, you know, where are you going? What are you doing? So quietly you sneak out, everybody else is busy. And you go find a suitable place. And under the sky, there you raise your hands, if you and your wife are together, and you cry and you beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you cry as long as you are, make dua for a long, as long as you are able to make dua. You must feel happy. You must feel that satisfaction in your heart. You made so much of dua. You must make tawbah, istighfar. And after some time, you tell her to go on one side, you go on one side. Very jokingly, ladies mustn't get offended. I say, then, in case you need to make dua for a second wife, how can she? She won't say, Ameen, astaghfirullah. No, that's the time now you must be absolutely alone. She needs to also be alone. Sometimes when, even if your wife is standing next to you, or the husband is standing next to you, you can't really cry your heart out as much as you would like to. When you're in solitude. She's got some problems. She needs to talk to Allah alone. You also got some worries, some concerns. So then you make dua alone. In solitude. Now that's the time you are bonding. You are linking to Allah Rabbul Izzat. There's nobody else. Then you will see people shedding tears. People are crying. Outwardly he may not look so pious. That is our problem, again, we're very judgmental. You see a person from some far remote area, and you see him crying and crying and crying. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the time when shaitan is most disgraced. Why? He sees thousands and millions of people on that day all turning to Allah, all making dua to Allah, all making tawbah, istighfar, calling out to Allah, labbaik, labbaik, oh Allah, I am present, oh Allah, I am here at your service, oh my Allah, oh my Rabb, oh my beloved, I am here. Oh Allah, forgive me. Shaitan takes the sand and he throws on his head. He curses himself. He flees. He cannot stomach. He cannot see. So many people are being forgiven. Why? These are now not normally people. The Hujjaj are the delegation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the waf, we're digressing. They are the waf of Allah ta'ala. They are the delegation of Allah. They are not just hajis, but they are now the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why when they will return, they will come back with a clean slate. All their sins are forgiven. Raja'a kayyumin waladatu ummuh. Haji comes back like, and he returns like the day his mother gave birth to him. So a person will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Mufti Taqi Sahib says, these few sentences convey a deep meaning. And people go into the company of these pious people. What is the maqsad? They also want to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what happens? That love of Allah ta'ala when it comes to a person, into a person's heart, then every difficult thing becomes easy for him. Nothing becomes a burden to him. Love makes the difficult things easy. When a person abides by deen, initially it seems now difficult how much salat he has to make. Initially he says, oh, I'm so many years now, I have to make qaza, umri, then my 5 times salat, then my rozas, I don't know what happened in my time, when I became baligh in the time of jahiliyyah, ignorance, I didn't keep some rozas, I got to make up for those rozas, and so many things become very, it seems very difficult for the person. But now what happens, once this love comes into his heart, then he will refrain from sin. That's the first thing will happen. He will refrain from gunas. And he will now keep his eyes in check. His tongue will be in control. And as this relationship will build and grow and grow and grow, things which are difficult and bitter, those things become sweet even. When Rumi Rahmatullah had mentioned, in love, bitterness is sweet. Things which are very difficult, fajr time, early morning, or tahajjud, he has to wake up. MashaAllah, in Durban, we have very good climate. Go up country, it is winter, when it is midwinter, moreover, it's very, very difficult to wake up so early, to make wudu, and then go to the masjid. So even though it is difficult, even though it may be bitter, but that bitterness turns into sweetness. Why? Because he's got the love of Allah Ta'ala in his heart. If a mother has a child, and now the child, mother gives the child a nice bath, happens many times, the mother gives the child a bath, makes the child wear some nice, or just got the child ready, little infant, and suddenly the child urinates. Will the mother spank that little masoom newborn child? No. The mother, no matter what the condition is, how sick she may be herself, and no matter how cold it may be, she will go, she'll jump off her bed, and the cold night, winter night, she will go and wash the child, clean the child, put on new clothes again for the child, and she will even wash the area which has become soiled. Why? What's the reason? Because she loves this child. The muhabbat of the child is in her heart. So she will do this. She will do even more than that, willingly, for the sake of the child. And that is why Allah Ta'ala's system is such. You know, we say, mashallah, we are men, very good. Allah is in his wisdom has given women such qualities that you and I don't possess. Imagine if we had to give the child milk. 12 o'clock in the night, we say, but I go to work tomorrow morning, you carry on sleeping. How many times the wife must have been sick and she told us, please check on the child and make sure you give this his bottle. We forget. We forget how many scoops to put even. And what to do. Sometimes cold milk we're giving the child. You'll never find a mother making these mistakes. A muhabbat, child is growing. The mother will make sure her son has eaten food. The father doesn't worry about these things. So Allah Ta'ala has put this love of the child in the heart of the mother. So because of the love she has for the child, she is prepared to do anything for the child. So we're talking about muhabbat now. Don't forget, we're talking muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where every difficult task now becomes easy, becomes enjoyable. The bitter and difficult task becomes sweet and easy for us to do. When we have the love of Allah Ta'ala in our heart. Love of salary. Now this may apply to us. Someone engages in ibadat in the month, in the nights of Ramadan, wakes up for sehri, and then entire day he's keeping roza. Early morning he has to wake up, go back, rushes to his office, he has to travel to crowded area, he has to travel by bus sometimes, he has to work for long hours. He comes home in the evening, he's exhausted, endures all the pain, the difficulty. Why? Because he knows he's going to get a salary at the end of the month. And because of the love of the salary, he wants the check, therefore he will make all those sacrifices. The love of the wages enables him now to bear all the hardships. So he finds difficulty easy. This is exactly what Hazrat Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah mentioned, that when a person has love for something, then bitterness also becomes sweet. So the path is to create the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a relationship with Allah ta'ala. Once this is achieved, that path will now not look so difficult, but it will become easy and it will become short, it will become enjoyable. Like a person who does not like to travel, thoughts of traveling, they put him off. But when he realizes his destination, where he's going to. And a good example is when you're going for Umrah, going for Hajj. First you think, I've taken the flight from here to Johannesburg, then from Johannesburg to Jeddah, or I must go to Dubai, from Dubai then to Jeddah. It's a long journey. And then you've got to worry about visas and luggage and so many other things. But when he realizes that where is he going, what's his destination, then all those difficulties he'll just ignore. Because why? I'm going for Umrah, I'm going to go to Baytullah, I'm going to go to Madinah Munawwara, I'll stand before the Rozai Mubarak of Rasulullah Park sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just a thought of that, he'll say, no, there's nothing. The traveling is nothing. Taking one, two flights here, what's there? I'm going to meet my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to the house of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all this happens only when a person has the true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It all depends on love. If there is love of Allah ta'ala in the heart, a strong relationship with Him, if you have a strong relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the path which was seemingly difficult will now become so smooth and so easy. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to gain this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib had mentioned Hazrat Thani wa rahmatullahi alayhi's malfuzat regarding gaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And where he said, we make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. And the second thing we said was to contemplate and to ponder over the different ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must do it. Sit for a few moments, few minutes, every morning or evening, whenever. And just look around us. Or you go to the beach and just look at the ocean. You're going for a picnic somewhere, you're going for a holiday somewhere, you're going to the bergs. Then look at those mountains, look at the greenery, look at the scenery. Look at Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat, how much He has given us. If you can't go anywhere, look at our own bodies. Just by contemplating, Ya Allah, You have done so much, Ya Allah. And how much, what am I giving you back? So this immediately will make us realize and love of Allah Ta'ala will come into our heart. Allah Ta'ala's bounties and favors are unlimited. If we think of them again and again, then the love of Allah Ta'ala will grow in our heart. All we have to do is just to contemplate, just to ponder. Otherwise Allah Ta'ala's favors are unending. Whether we thank Allah Ta'ala or not, Allah still gives us. This is Allah Ta'ala's fazal upon us. Allah Ta'ala is so generous, so kind. Even though we don't make shukr, Allah is still giving us. Yes, if we make shukr, Allah will give us more. But Allah is still giving us even though we are not making shukr. Of course, we should be making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look at Allah's generosity. Shaykh Saadi rahmatullahi mentioned, Allah Ta'ala has turned the entire earth as a dining table on which all His makhluk, all His creatures find their share. The friend and foe, the enemy, partake of it. Without any distinction. The friends of Allah also enjoying the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. And the enemies of Allah, they are also enjoying from Allah's ni'mat. They are also breathing in air. They are also eating food. They are also getting clothing. In fact, as the Mufti Sahib explains, Allah's blessings rain down on believers and also disbelievers. But in fact, sometimes the disbelievers, somehow they get a greater share. They get more than the believers. They are more wealthier sometimes. They have more prosperity in dunya. Allah Ta'ala knows very well that these people are my enemy. They are denying my existence even. And they are disobedient to me. But still Allah Ta'ala continues to favor His kindness, His mercy upon them. So indeed, sometimes it is Allah Ta'ala's will that His dear slaves, His close ones, those who believe in Him, they live in poverty and in need, but His foes, His enemies, they have got plentiful. And they are living in luxury. That is Allah's hikmat, which we cannot understand and we should not question. Allah has done this. Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullah says in one poem, he says, sometimes we nourish our enemies and we hurt our friends. But there's a wisdom behind this. Your maqsad, the maqsad of Allah Ta'ala, sometimes putting us into poverty is not to put us into pain and distress and just destroy and get and make us get destroyed. No. Allah Ta'ala puts us into that poverty so that we keep on turning to Allah again and again. And that is what Allah Ta'ala wants from us. In the akhirat when we go, unlimited favors of Allah Ta'ala there. And there's only happiness, only luxury there. So we find in this world, there were people who were Allah's enemies. Samiri was one person. Allah Ta'ala still nourished him. Yet there were so many Anbiya alayhi salatu salam. Closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they went through difficulties, hardships. They underwent hunger so many times. So as the Mufti Taqi Sahib says, if anyone lacks a sense of perception, then what can we do? However, His favors, Allah's favors continue to pour down upon us. One only has to put one's mind to it. But we are negligent. If Allah causes us to think of His favors, then there is no reason for us to recount them and not love Allah Ta'ala. If Allah gives us tawfiq of now pondering over His favors, and we have pondered, Allah has given me this, Allah has given me that, now we automatically we should be loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these were the two things. And the third one was, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah had mentioned, that we must see, how are we responding to these bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah has given me so much, what am I doing? He says that when a person thinks of his behavior, his conduct, when he has received these ni'mas from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah sent ni'mas upon him, and so much, and Allah continues to send, and Allah has given us just one command, that is we must worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we show in return? Allah has given us so much, Allah says, bhai, you must worship me. We show lataji. We become lazy. We make excuses. Okay, tomorrow, I'll see later. People are going for namaz, bhai, come for namaz. I'll make it later on. What happens? Now we are showing lataji. Allah is giving us plentiful. Allah is not charging us either. Allah is giving us more than what we require, more than what we desire. Allah has asked us to make His ibadat and we make excuses. If Allah had, so we show lethargy in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah has disallowed him to commit sin, then he is lethargic in keeping away from it. Allah said, don't make guna, but we find it very difficult to abstain from sin. Allah says, make my ita'at, we find it very difficult to make Allah's ita'at. He who solves our difficulties is doing all that for us. But we fail to do our share, our bit towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we have to contemplate on our condition. We find our duties a burden on us. Salat, fasting, dhikr, tilawat, waaz, nasihat. We find all this difficult. To abstain from sin, very difficult. It's a burdensome thing. We are told not to look at that haram woman or non-mahram woman. It's a very difficult thing for us to do. We are told not to go towards zina. It's very difficult for us. Not to take riba. It's very difficult. Not to make ghibat. Very difficult. How ungrateful is a slave's response to Allah's blessings. This is a sabak we must take back home tonight, inshallah. That how ungrateful is a slave's response to Allah's blessings. We must contemplate that in spite of our indifferent attitude, Allah's blessings come to us all the time, constantly. This is why Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali calls us upon to ponder over Allah Ta'ala's favors and to contemplate on our response, our reaction to Allah Ta'ala's favors. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. We make the dhikr of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and we have to contemplate on Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala has given us. And our attitude, our response towards those ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has given us. Then we keep in contact with a friend of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And we make the ita'at of Allah and Rasulullah Park Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we have to make dua to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala all the time. All the time. Wallah, I want your muhabbat. So as it has mentioned, Mufti Taqi Sahib, he says, when everything is in the control of Allah, or everything is with Allah Ta'ala, with Allah's grant, Allah's will, then how can I be arrogant? How can I become a slave of my nafs? How can I become a slave of my egos and passions? I have nothing of my own, everything belongs to Allah. I am undeserving of the ni'mat of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So when a person ponders and reflects, and see, I am nothing. We say we are nothing. Our haqiqat, we are nothing. We don't own anything, everything belongs to Allah. And Allah is giving us so much. Therefore, this itself, just contemplating on this point, should make us now realize Allah's greatness, and we should begin to love Allah Ta'ala, love Allah Ta'ala. That we don't own anything. Allah is giving us all from His generosity. The more one realizes that he is insignificant, the more he will value Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat upon him. But if anyone considers himself deserving of Allah's bounties, he feels, no, I deserve this. I rightfully deserve these bounties. Then he will never thank Allah Ta'ala truly. He will never thank Allah Ta'ala. A person who's working for you, and he demands certain things, and he says, no, this is my right. Or I deserve these things. You've given him what he deserves, but more than that, he demands it. Don't you become upset with him? So here, when we are slaves of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and we regard, if a person regards himself deserving of Allah's blessings, then he won't thank Allah Ta'ala for those blessings. He will believe that Allah Ta'ala had to give him those things. And that is incorrect. Allah is not bound by any person. So there's no hope from such a person showing gratitude to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And when a person won't make shukr to Allah Ta'ala, he will not love Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But only when a person thinks of himself to be insignificant, I'm nothing. I don't deserve anything. I'm unworthy. Then he will be grateful to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for any and every ni'mat Allah gives him. If a person thinks of himself as a great man possessing glory, then his heart becomes arrogant. And he asks others, do you not know who I am? One buzruk spoke some words of advice to a man. So the person retorted, he said, don't you know who I am? Don't you know me? You actually mean to correct me? What is all this? Ana again, me. Why? He regards himself to be a very significant person. So this is arrogance, this is pride. And this is what Allah Ta'ala does not want from us. Because once a person develops this arrogance and pride, then he won't make shukr to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and he won't love Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Therefore, man should think, what is his worth? What is his worth? أَوَّلُكَ نُطْفَة. The very beginning of man is what? A drop of sperm. وَآخِرُكَ جِيفَة. When man passes away, what is his body becomes? A corpse. Dead. Carrion. And وَأَنْتَ فِيمَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ تَحْمِلُ الْقَذِرَة. And in between, what are you carrying in your stomach? What are you carrying in your body? Blood and filth. That's all. This is the reality of us, of man. When a person then submits to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and again, days of Qurbani are coming, we'll hear so many bayans on Qurbani, Jummah bayans, and so many other bayans. All will have one sabak, one lesson. Surrendering, submitting before Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. When a person takes out that ananiyat from him, that I, me, the arrogance, the pride,
He humbles himself. And when will a person humble himself? When he has the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true muhabbat and ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making his zikr in abundance, by pondering over his bounties, and reflecting on how we are responding to those bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What type of shukr are we making? Sitting in the gatherings of the pious, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the love of Allah ta'ala is engendered in our hearts. We have to be reminded all the time. All the time. Few weeks go past, few months go past, and if you're not reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obedience of Allah, obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what happens? The love disappears from our heart. And we actually feel our hearts becoming heavy. We feel ourselves going away from righteous deeds. We find ourselves sinning very, very frequently, very easily. Previously we had some type of himmat and courage to refrain from the sins. But suddenly now, because we have distanced ourselves from the remembrance of Allah and from such gatherings where we are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the result of that, the consequence of that is, then the love of Allah ta'ala diminishes. And when that happens, then we start slipping again. May Allah ta'ala give all of us tawfiq and hidayat to continuously remember Allah Rabbul Izzat. Sit in the company of the pious, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make sincere dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallah, I want to become your true lover. Wallah, you fill, instill in my heart your true ishq and muhabbat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu.